from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to
Will and Diddy
on 95.7 The Game.
Did you see the Orlovsky thing?
What thing?
Elite quarterbacks.
Elite quarterbacks? Who? Not the Mike Sando.
Yeah, quarterback tiers. I saw right. that too.
The tiers are out.
Orlovsky listed his quarterbacks in the NFL who get the label elite.
Okay.
There are 9 of them. There are 9 of them. Did you see this?
Missed it.
Okay. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. C.J. Stroud, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, and Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy?
Those are elite? Your 9 elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
All right, Dan.
Dak Prescott didn't make the cut.
Wow.
Jalen Hurts didn't make the cut.
More surprising.
Jordan Love? No, sir.
No?
Tua? Nope.
Not getting in?
One guy's opinion.
Yeah.
Thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah. Nice. 9 of the starting 32, 9 of, I guess, a potential 196 quarterbacks, 3 per team. So that's pretty lofty praise. But yeah, elite. The fact that he made it into that elite category, that's good for Brock. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that will be the difference this year. The difference this year will be you can get a bunch of social media engagement by complimenting Brock and putting him in the same sentence with Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson and Burrow, as opposed to doing the other way around, which is what we spent all last year doing, which was listing the elite quarterbacks, followed by the great quarterbacks, followed by the good quarterbacks, and then Brock.
Exactly.
Who's 29th in the league, apparently.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that'll be different this year.
Could be. And just, I mean, ultimately, the proof is in the pudding and the results of how you do, but how your team does, more importantly. And that's where all these things, and I was looking at the Mike Sando quarterback tiers in The Athletic, and, you know, you could look at any of the different quarterback rankings, and it's all so wildly subjective. It really comes down to, are you any good? Is your team any good? That, to me, is ultimately how all these rankings get proven out, because you could be a good quarterback and your team's not very good, or you can be okay and your team is great, and then, you know, what are these quarterbacks, basically the same?
Well, I actually think that while we're sitting here talking, you know, about wide receivers, and for those of you just tuning in, C.D. Lamb today has his deal with the Dallas Cowboys. It's worth $34 million a year, with $100 million guaranteed and a $38 million signing bonus. More on that in just a second. Ja'Marr Chase is not signed, or at least for a new deal. He does still have 2 years left on his deal. He's already practicing. That leaves Brandon Ayuk as the last controversial wide receiver situation out there, and he was not to be seen at practice at all today, not even on the sideline. The one thing that I would say, and there's more than one, but what really sticks out to me, the number one negotiating point that Brandon does have is kind of what you're talking about. Like, I don't know if he's number 8 in the league or number 12 in the league, but in the end, who cares? He works here.
Exactly.
It works. And so there are no question marks. There's no, like, does he block downfield? Does he understand the system? Does he have rapport with Brock? To me, that's the biggest, biggest point in the favor of Brandon Ayuk. However, in the end, for me, he won't engage. He won't engage. He won't make a choice. And it's game time. It's game time.
It's getting close, right? Yeah.
And again, if the guy, if this breaks in an hour that Ayuk and the Niners agree, then deep breath, on we go. And it's not like I'm going to root against the guy, but I, like, if I'm the Niners, I'm changing the discourse right now, and I'm done. I'm done negotiating. I've said everything I'm going to say, and if it's good enough, it's good enough, and it's not, it's not. And I would completely support them putting him on a different roster as well, if that's still available to
them. And I would imagine it still is available, although, as I mentioned before, when you get to cut down day, which is tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I'm sure other teams are going to want to know if Brandon Ayuk is going to be possibly a Patriots or a Commanders or a Steelers or a Browns or whatever other team thinks that they're still interested in acquiring Brandon Ayuk. You want to have those decisions be made before tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's a little bit more difficult if it's done afterward when you're trying to set your roster. So yeah. I do think that we're up against a certain deadline, not only here in Santa Clara, but also abroad. If you are a potentially acquiring team, and I was looking at a Bill Barnwell piece earlier today in ESPN, and he's a really locked in NFL expert, and he was running through possible trade scenarios that could still happen, and he has the Patriots and Brandon Ayuk still connected in some way. I don't know if that would be a full reversal, of course, and he decides that, you know, that money from them would be what he really wants. I don't know what he wants. This whole thing has gone sideways so many different times from where I thought that it was going to eventually go. I can't call it anymore. I've been wrong 7 different times on this.
Well,
and eventually I'm going to be right.
It's lasted so long that how can you not have been wrong
right.
a bunch of times on it? And that's kind of where I've arrived. It's gone on too long already. And so that's the end of that. Even though it's not over, but that's the end of that. And I firmly, firmly believe that while a lesser version of themselves, the 49ers are still good enough. Still good enough without him. Or at a minimum, the 49ers are better without Brandon than Brandon is without the 49ers. That's my belief. I really don't see another spot where Brandon Ayuk, 2 weeks now, 13 days before the start of the season for most teams, I don't see where he's just going to walk into some other locker room and crush it and go for 1,300 yards this year. I think that's a crazy thought. Maurice Rancho Cordova on with Willard and Dibs. Hi, Maurice. What's up?
Hey, man. What's going on? I just wanted to just talk about what you guys were talking about as far as pain. And Bill Belichick came on, and Dibs said something about how they built their roster. If you know you're a run-first team, this is before the draft. You've been knowing you're a run-first team for the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. This is before the draft. You know you don't really want to pay 2 receivers over $25 million. You know you don't. Why waste everybody's time and not trade him at the draft? That made no sense to me. This is 100% on the Niners. I don't understand it, like, not even a little bit. You should have traded him on the draft. Not to mention, you draft a receiver. You draft a receiver that has a history of shoulder problems when you want that receiver to come across the middle, catch slants, while you have linebackers paying bills and you have safeties coming downhill, coming for him on slants. Not to mention, you already knew about Trent Williams and he wanted his money. You should have drafted a tackle. Or you could at least trade it. Brandon Ayuk still got your problematic receiver that you wanted in Pearsall and went to go get a tackle to go ahead and shore up the future for Brock Purdy. That made no sense. And I have something else to say. You have Kittle, who's getting older.
Yeah.
You have McCaffrey, who's getting older. You have Trent Williams, who's getting older. You have Debo, who's getting older. All of those guys, their play style is taking hits, and they're getting older. They have about a year and a half to 2 years with the 49ers. Yet the youngest receiver you have, the most durable receiver you have, you just don't want to pay his money when you know those dudes are coming off the books in the next couple of years. When Brock Purdy contract kick in, I don't understand none of it. You guys, explain it to me, because I'm a little bit confused on it.
Yeah, Maurice, here's what I would say. You certainly have some very, very, very fair points. But when you say trade him before the draft, don't you need to know what's being offered?
Totally.
I don't think you can make it. Like, I do this every year at the baseball trade deadline when people go, "You stupid idiot for not trading Bumgarner." Were there any offers? Were there any good offers? I have no idea. I don't know what was offered. And so if you're only being offered a second round pick for a guy who 4 years ago was a first round pick, has played up to the pick, and has teams willing to pay $30 million a year for him, that's worth a first-round pick. So I'm not giving him up for a second-round pick. Now, did they miscalculate the idea that if they don't trade him, they'll be able to get it done? Clearly.
Yeah.
That's fair. Now, the other points that are being made where you sort of definitively give this list of players who will all be off the roster in 2 years or less, I don't buy that. I don't think Debo and George are that old. And by the way, that's a long time from now. There are ways to replace people, sometimes overnight. Example I always give is Joe Staley. All freaking out. Where's our left tackle? Boop, snap finger, there's your left tackle. And stop worrying about Trent. I will have egg on the face this day, 2 weeks from now, if he's not done and ready to go in that game.
Yeah, it'll be before but yeah.
I am not... Yeah. Worried about Trent, and I
my worry went up today a little bit.
Did it?
Just based on the report that, you know, just a little bit of a reminder, you know, I have sat out before. In fact, I sat out a whole year.
Yeah.
And I will sit out again. I will sit out week one is the report from Jordan Elliott, right?
I thought it was Jeremy Fowler, but
Jeremy Fowler. Yeah, apologies. Yeah. I, you know, sometimes I get confused as to who's reporting what and where, but the report being that he will sit out week one if need be. And so I see that and I think, okay, I mean, he's done it before. That to me becomes a little bit more of a pressure point than this ongoing Ayuk saga, because they need Trent a lot more than they need Brandon Ayuk.
I agree with that. Here, let's let everybody hear this from Jeremy Fowler so you can decide if this one kind of gets your anxiety up or not. This is from ESPN.
Well, I was told from somebody involved in the situation that he is not going to be available until he gets his contract adjusted. He's got 3 years left on his deal. That could bleed into the regular season with us just being a few weeks away. This is a player who's made about $150 million in his career. He's been taking up golf, kind of stayed away from the team, doing his own thing, still training, of course, getting ready for the season potentially. But he's not overly stressed to have to be out there right now, and he's the fourth highest paid left tackle despite being the best the last few years. So the 49ers know they have to do something here. Could sweeten the guarantees on his contract. Mm-hmm. So they're dealing with Brandon Ayuk at the same time. They're trying to get this guy done. So they're hoping he'll be in the lineup here soon.
That one stresses you out a little bit?
Yeah, more so. Just to hear it put to words like that, to hear that report come out that, yes, I'm, and I know that that's kind of the way that, that this was headed.
Yeah, they already knew all that. What's new there? Why did that grab you?
What's new is the fact that it's now out there. And, you know, the report comes from the Williams camp of, like, just so you know, he won't play unless he gets a new deal. It's been understood. It's been assumed, but now it's known. Now it's out there.
I think they knew that. I think they knew that 5 months ago.
Right, but now the fact that it's out there now, for me, becomes a little bit more, it's a little bit more of a real thing.
Well, that's fine. I take that as Jeremy Fowler had a suit on today, and there was a camera on, and someone asked him for an update on the Trent thing, and he said exactly where it's been the whole time. Trent's not coming in without a sweetener in his guarantee or a change in his contract. The one thing, if there's anything of note in there for me, it's when he says he's the fourth highest paid one, even though he's the best. That's almost like their little marker of, right, like, by the way, we want the best contract because we're the best. which I don't think is all that crazy. I don't think it's that much money to make that happen.
It's about $5 million a year.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, we're haggling over $1 million with Brandon Ayuk.
Are we?
Are we? The team's at 29 and he's at 30.
That's AAV.
That's the report.
That's AAV.
Right. But if you're Trent wants to be the highest paid, and that's more like $5 or $6 million a year over what, 2 or 3 years? How many years are you going to give Trent?
But it's Trent. You've said
right,
it yourself.
But he's 36.
He's vital.
But how much are you going to give him? How many years are you going to give Trent?
Whatever we need to get him back out on the field at age 36.
Like, you know, you can give him a 4-year deal. Pay him until he's 40?
No, I don't think that's what he's asking for.
I don't know what he's asking for.
That's what I'm saying. I think you can hear it right there. They're like, so, I'm being paid as the fourth. I'm the first. Let's handle that. That doesn't mean 4 years pay me till I'm 40. That just means sweeten it. He even mentions it. Sweeten the guarantees. Man's 36 years old. There's going to be fat people leaning on him every day. Let's get some guaranteed money for that.
Fat shame.
Sorry,
in the
I don't
NFL.
Want to body shame anybody.
You just did.
But these are big dudes that eat a lot of food, and they're going to be like leaning on each other, and it hurts. So guarantee me some money. I still, with 2 weeks to go, don't think the Niners, again, because of his position, because he's 36, because he is the man in the NFL, I don't think the Niners want him sweating out August. I think that
he's already sweating out August. It's August 26th.
That's what I mean. I don't think they want him losing his all of his effort in August.
Oh, right.
I just don't
like that. Okay.
Yeah, like I am zero stress on Trent. Zero. But
my stress went from zero to about a two and a half.
Okay.
So I've gone from zero. Like
that's fine.
It's gone up because we're 2 weeks away. And you know, you do want to get Trent in for some practices, and I understand that he's a veteran, and it's great that he took August off, and you don't really need him to learn the scheme and, like, figure out how to block and where to put your hand on this play and that play. He's going to be good, but you do want to have him out there, the big fella, running around, and also, I think you want to have your offense fully comprised at some point here pretty soon. That way your quarterback, I don't know, can stop running for his life on every snap. And he was pressured on 9 of 14 dropbacks on Friday against a second and third string Raider defense.
Yeah.
That was not good. So if you want to talk about takeaways from Friday, one of my takeaways was your offensive line, as it is right now, is not very good. And that's a little scary.
I've always looked at offensive line as kind of they're a package deal. It's five people that need to be in total concert with one another. So if there's no Trent, the trickle-down effect is significant. And so add in that it's preseason, and I worry none about their performance right now, provided that Trent plays 2 weeks from today, and I have 100% confidence that Trent Williams will play 2 weeks from today. So I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
You could call the 49ers a lot of things. I don't think they're stupid. And while all of us sit here and go, you have to have Trent, the Niners are like, we know.
Of course they know.
Yeah,
but
we know.
When do you need him in for him to be able to play?
That I don't know.
A 36-year-old, 340-pounder, and you're just going to have him like roll off the couch and play?
Well, I don't think he's on the couch.
You want to talk about soft muscle and soft tissue injuries?
I don't think he's on the couch, and I'm actually...
Well, I know where he's not.
Yeah,
in Santa Clara.
No, he's not in Santa Clara,
right.
But I don't know at that age and at that size and at that ability and all of those things... I don't know what a doctor would say with regard to what would be better for Trent. I can tell you that I have heard there are multiple GMs around the league that think this whole thing is just a big show. I have heard that. GMs around the league think that this is a big show and that this is, Trent's going to be there when Trent's going to be there. And that this is a plan. I don't know this. I just know there are some on other teams who think this.
Yeah.
This has been the plan all along. You've heard DeSean Jackson be like, I was just on the phone with Trent. Trent's going to be there in a minute. Kyle's like, I was on the phone with Trent. Like, I think it's all good. I don't know if it's their plan or not exactly. I don't know if it'll work. Anyone can get hurt on any play anyway. But, like, I get the idea that at age 36 and 325 pounds, and like, literally one of the elder statesmen and vets, great vets of the league, if you tell me the right thing to do is just like work on your own in August, okay. Like maybe that is the best thing.
Could be.
I don't know.
Maybe it's not. I mean, we have training camp, and you know, training camp is not only to see who's going to make the team. Training camp is for your, like you said, your offensive line is a unit. It's a group of five, and right now of your group of five, your left guard has been hurt. Your right guard's a rookie. Your right tackle has been kind of there. Your left tackle is holding out. So your offensive line unit hasn't even been together 1 second of training camp. So you're expecting them to all get back together and hit the ground running? I don't think that that's the ideal way to go about it. So, yeah, Trent Williams, 36. Go ahead and chill, big fella. Rest up. Come in when you're ready. But you want to have your five-man unit, which is going to be a different unit than last year.
A little bit, yep.
It's probably going to be different. Looks like Dominic Pooney's going to be your starting right guard if things hold as is. And I don't know, the right guard and the left tackle probably don't interact a ton on many of the plays unless the guard is pulling going to Trent's side. But you do want to have your unit all comprised and in there. And already your wide receiver room is a question mark, and your defense has a couple of guys you're hoping to get back, and it just hasn't felt like a very solid camp of everybody who's going to be there being in camp.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But sometimes I do sit there and think about that a little bit, like how much of the concern, how much of the stress, all of the hand-wringing about all of this is simply the way we feel. I really do think that the Niners feel to many of you like they're 0-2, and they're not. And this could very easily, in fact, I would argue it's likely that all of the stress of the summer, just with a 17-3 halftime lead 2 weeks from now, is gone. Gone. It just dissipates right into the concession aisles. And you're like, let's go get another beer. The Niners are up 2 scores.
What if they're down 17-3 at the half?
Well, then we got a different argument, and quite frankly, right, with or without Trent, Brandon, or anyone else, that would be all kinds of concerning.
Exactly.
The New York Jets, while I think they're an interesting squad that's very talented in spots, they've got a very good defense, they have a 40-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles tear who didn't look very good the year before he had an Achilles tear. If the Niner defense can't handle that guy, who, by the way, they've kind of handled traditionally, especially in this building through the years, if they can't handle that guy, we got a whole different question. These holdouts aren't on defense. The New York Jets should not come in here and get more than 20 points. They just should not. So the 49ers should win that game. No matter what's going on with all of this stuff, certainly, I don't know about the troll Trent thing. That's obviously, that would be different. The Niners are a better team than the Jets with or without Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. But,
and you already said that Trent's going to play 100% guaranteed week one. So, and that being the case, then there should be no concern. But week one, crazy things happen, and you have an offense that, you know, so far in the preseason, you've had some offensive line challenges. I just wonder how this offense is going to look when they hit the field 2 weeks from today, and you have a camp that you haven't really had everyone together yet. You haven't had Brandon. You haven't had Trent. So all bets are off when it comes to, you know, 2 weeks from now. If you don't have everybody on the field, I don't think it's as easy as, well, Aaron Rodgers is 40, and he's got a bum Achilles, so of course you'll be able to handle him. Still a very good quarterback. When healthy.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
When the hell's the last time we watched Aaron Rodgers play quarterback? By the way, it was for 4 plays where he didn't look very good.
4 plays.
No, right. He didn't. He's not. Aaron Rodgers, like, his mobility was part of his game. And it's gone. And it was gone before he got hurt. Like, yes, great arm, elite arm. But I don't know, man. He's 40.
Yeah. That sounds old.
They're not all Tom Brady. You can't just all play till you're 44.
Look at Russell Wilson. More guys play until, you know, like Drew Brees played until he was about 40.
Yeah. Do you remember his last year in Green Bay? They went 8-9.
Yeah. There's been a long time since Aaron Rodgers was really good.
Nobody in Green Bay, that team.
Yeah, he did.
And nobody.
Better last year with Jordan Love.
Yeah, because they finally drafted some talent around him. Aaron Rodgers had to play with a bunch of rookies.
My favorite tweet of the day about the wide receivers came from Andrew Brandt. We'll tell everybody. Okay. It involves the Packers and CeeDee Lamb. And therefore, indirectly, the Niners. We'll read that to you next. There's a different Belichick comment that is specific to the wide receivers and Brandon Ayuk that we need to play for you. Kyle Shanahan had a bunch to say. We're going to get to all of this. And your calls, 888-957-9570. That is our number, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, Willard and Dibbs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Well, I was on hold and waiting for you guys to talk to me. Jaden Daniels is FaceTiming me, so I had to tell him, well, I got to go on this show. I'll get back to you when I get off the show. So,
come on, coach.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yep. Jaden Daniels is going to be good now.
Yep.
You know he is.
We'll see.
Now watch out for Jaden Daniels. I actually do think Washington is not ready this year, but coming.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing.
Okay.
I do. I like a lot of what they're doing out there with the
ownership change and the name change.
That helped.
A lot of it. Yeah.
You can't go
culture change.
You can't go down from Daniel Snyder.
Seriously.
You cannot. You cannot. All right, Willard and Dibbs, 888-957-9570. Reason number I want to roll through all the Shanahan sound from today. There's a lot of interesting stuff with regard to what's going on with the Niners after their last preseason game on Friday night. Reason number 86, why I love my girl Christy. She just texted in with something that I find interesting. And she said, in a different way of saying it, I'll put a little dramatic effect on it because it's a radio show. Do you know what happened yesterday, a year ago?
No.
366 days ago.
Shout out Leap Year.
That's a great question.
Thank you. 366 days ago, we sat here, you and I sat here. It happened during our show.
Mm.
And in fact, I remember sort of predicting it at about 2:30, and then it happened at 4:30. The Niners were about to play the Chargers in a preseason game on a Friday night. It's 366 days ago. Does everybody remember what happened? What happened about 2 hours before the Niners kicked off with the Chargers? Yeah, I know some of you are raising your hands out there. I see you.
Trade him!
That's right. Trade Lance. 366 days ago, we sat here. Trey Lance got traded. Kyle Shanahan was accused of only liking white players or whatever the hell was going on. So we got controversy flying everywhere. The idiotic Niners trade away their number 3 overall pick for a guy whose arm is hanging from his body. Oh, and Nick Bosa was an incredibly high-profile holdout, and we were just a couple of weeks away from his mom coming on the show to explain the largest omelet that any of us had ever seen in our lives. It was all very dramatic and uncomfortable. Negatives surrounding camp as games were about to begin. Very uncomfortable trading the number 3 overall pick 2 years after it happens, right before the season starts, putting all your eggs in the basket of a torn UCL, and Nick Bosa nowhere to be seen or heard at all. How'd it work out?
Worked out pretty well, Mark, especially after what we saw this weekend from the aforementioned Trey Lance. Pick.
Holy crap.
5 picks, and if you look at all 5 of the picks, now, interceptions are like children. You don't dislike any of them any more than the other.
Well, is that true?
It's not true.
Oh, no, you get a tip ball. I love a tip ball a little bit more than I just threw into double coverage.
He had one in the red zone from about the 8-yard line that was a straight-up telegraphed, as my friend Jean-Marc used to say. He's from France. He didn't really get the translation. It was a telephone pass. It was telegraphed. He would say it was a telephone pass.
Mr. Telephone Pass.
He threw it right to the Charger defender.
Yes.
He had one tipped. He had one that he was going. It was a Chris Berman interception where he was going back. And he threw it off his back foot up for no one. Well, and then he had the Despacito one with 7 seconds left to go. That one, okay, fine.
Okay, whatever. And he had the
throw it, and, you know, and the game's going to end.
He had the run. The run was incredible. He showed some leg talent in this game that we never saw with the 49ers.
He had the runs that were impressive.
Partially because he went around the outside. He didn't go up the middle where Kyle Shanahan was trying to hurt him for 2 years.
No remember doubt.
That? Anyway, point is this. A couple football people I respect were saying over the weekend, they're like, watch this Trey Lance play. This is why you don't give up on him. And it was the run, and there's a couple other things out there. And they're like, look, you know, he still played relatively little amount of football, considering where he is and who he is. Didn't have a lot of football in college. Hasn't had a lot of football in the pros. So you got to live with things like this. And I'm getting all these points, and I go, okay, granted. And maybe he still will. Maybe he'll figure it out. But I go, it's not like he threw 2 picks.
Or three. Or even 4.
He threw 5.
Number 5.
That's a lot of picks.
That's a lot, yeah.
And then I go, oh, by the way, those Chargers running around making those picks? Not starters.
No.
Not starters.
Not even second stringers by the end of the game. Yeah, some thirds.
I was like, oh, God, that's a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
They're like, well, he played the whole game. I'm like, right, quarterbacks do that sometimes. But the whole game? You're expected to throw fewer than 5. Brock threw fewer than 5 on Christmas.
No doubt.
And he
only because he got pulled. He didn't play the full game.
That's a fair point.
He only played about 2.5 quarters.
Oh, my God.
He got the hook.
5?
It was rough.
He had 11 the whole year last year.
Yeah, Brock did, not Trey.
Yeah.
Trey had fewer than 11.
Right.
The fact that it's been a year, it feels like forever ago that Trey Lance was a 49er.
It does.
Right? It feels like more than a year ago.
A year ago yesterday.
Yeah, it's wild.
So I don't say that to downplay whatever's happening now. It's super frustrating, and I'm out on Brandon Ayuk. This whole thing's done as far as I'm concerned. If the Niners want to move on from him, I get it. But I still think the Niners are fine. I still think they're fine. Frustrating camp, grant you. They're still tied for first place. Still have the best.
Plenty of time.
Still have the best roster.
Yeah, they're in a 4-way tie for first and 4-way tie for last. So a lot of things are going to happen even between now and cut down day, which is tomorrow. And I wonder if there isn't a trade or two that they make between now and then, because they have players that they're going to cut that I think other teams will want. So if you take Elijah Mitchell, for example, if he's going to be your third running back, and you want to keep Isaac Garendo, so Garendo becomes your third running back, and maybe Elijah Mitchell's the odd man out. They already cut Matt Breida today.
Yep.
Is there a team that would want the preferential landing spot for Elijah Mitchell?
I don't know.
You give the Niners a 7th or a 6th, and you pick up Mitchell. That way, if you just send him out there into the street, then it becomes, you know, a thing where he has his pick of destinations, and Robbie Chosen's another one. Is he going to make this team? And if not, Is there another team out there that might want his services?
I got a hard time believing the Niners are going to get much for those players. Like, I think you're selecting the right names.
You don't have to get much.
Well, I mean, Robbie Chosen was sitting there available to everybody as of, 13 days ago. Whole mm-hmm. world could have him, and nobody did. And Eli Mitchell, I think, is a talented player, but those injuries just keep coming. And when a running back's body starts to break, I don't know that I would give up a draft pick for Eli Mitchell. I would dare the 49ers to keep him if I wanted Eli Mitchell. Because, do you see this team moving away from... First of all, J.P. Mason's going to be your backup.
Yeah.
And Garendo, they've seen very little of him, but they used a good-sized pick on him, and when they see him, they like him. He looks good.
Yeah, he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
And he's not going to, you're not going to cut him and hope he clears waivers on your practice squad, because I don't think that he will. A guy at that weight who runs a 4.33 40, the only other player north of 220 pounds to run a 40 that fast at the combine, DK Metcalf.
Oh boy.
So you're talking about that level of heft and athleticism in just a speed quotient.
That's interesting.
So that's pretty elite company, because I think Garendo was 220 pounds at the combine. He ran that 4.33. So you're going to keep him. He's a bowling ball, but he's a fast bowling ball. I don't think you're going to want to let him go.
Shanahan talked about Garendo on his conference call yesterday.
I thought he did a real good job, especially since it was the first day he had shoulder pads on since the Senior Bowl. He got hurt our first day of practice, and then the two practices we had before the Raiders week, were unpadded practices. So for him to go that long without putting pads on, I really liked how he ran. He tried to break tackles, never eased up on contact, tried to run through it, hit the holes well, and had a real good first game.
And also answering the point that you just made, Kyle was asked, is there trade talk going on right now with cut down day looming?
Yeah, there's always talk now. Guys are always everywhere calling, and they do that usually a week before the final preseason game. But you never know really how real anyone is here until usually tomorrow. Not as much today. I think all the last games were finished yesterday. But everyone tries to figure it out and want to know whether who you're keeping, who they can get, if they're going to be cut, who they can trade for. But there's a lot of talk. Nothing comes real until most likely tomorrow, sometimes the morning of.
By the way, tomorrow is today. These comments were made yesterday.
Gotcha.
So tomorrow is today, and morning of would be referring to tomorrow, because tomorrow is the morning of cut down day, and we're getting late in the game. It's almost 3:45 here, and a lot of the teams you'd be talking to, it's 6:45 where they are. So doesn't mean something couldn't break here real soon. We've only seen about five or six names come through so far as who the 49ers are letting go. You mentioned, as far as the running back position, that's Matt Breida at this point. So I'm sure that those, especially with practice now complete, I'm sure those phone lines are burning up right now.
Yes, and I do also think that the quarterback spot is an interesting one, because Brandon Allen, Josh Dobbs, who's going to be the backup? I think it's going to be Josh Dobbs. And so if Brandon Allen is a guy who is going to be QB3, would he be somebody who a team might target? And you see that Green Bay has already picked up a backup quarterback, Malik Willis. They sent a 7th-round pick to Tennessee to get Malik Willis in as Jordan Love's backup. So this is kind of where teams that aren't sold on their backup might be sniffing around. And if Brandon Allen's not going to be the Niners' backup, he might be a good trade target for a team like Minnesota here in the late hours.
You're on fire right now. I just want to say that.
Okay.
You're on fire right now because you keep bringing up things that Kyle talked about yesterday on his conference call.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kyle, have you decided on QB2?
No, we haven't decided. We haven't told them yet, so I'm still working through that.
Okay, so those are two different answers in 4 seconds.
I love it.
We haven't decided yet, and we haven't told them yet, which means we have decided. We just haven't told them, so we're not going to tell you.
That's so great. And I think that he's decided, and I'd be stunned if it isn't Josh Dobbs.
I would not be.
Okay.
I would not be stunned.
I mean, Dobbs has made, I think for me, he's made more of an impact, more of an imprint and stuff, and he's made more plays. I think he's more of an exciting option, and not that that has to be the determinant.
Does Kyle like exciting out of the quarterback position?
Well, I mean, Trey Lance is exciting, right?
Yeah,
Trey Lance is too exciting. guy's a thrill a minute.
Super exciting.
I mean,
tons of fun.
Either rushing for touchdowns or throwing picks. Nothing in between. So,
what were the, because I'll be straight honest with you, when the starters left that game on Friday night, I did too. the numbers, Josh Dobbs, very efficient. 8 of 10, 72 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Allen, 5 of 7, 460 yards. And not much in the way of rushing for either one of them. They both went negative yards. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Brandon Allen was second into the game. Is that right? I think Brandon Allen came in before Dobbs.
I think so. Shanahan said for preseason game one and preseason game two, he wanted one to come in first and one to come in second, so they could swap it up every time.
Okay.
But so I don't think who played before the other means anything.
I don't know. Maybe, Dibs, maybe you start calling teams and offer up both of them. And whichever one can, I'd rather have like Brandon Allen as the backup and a sixth rounder as opposed to Josh Dobbs and a nothing. Does that even it out for you a little bit?
Yeah, it does, but I don't, again, these are late round picks, which, you know, they've done some damage with. As we know, Brock Purdy was a seventh round pick, so I'm not saying that they're nothing, but I would imagine Kyle Shanahan has made a decision, and he does like one more than the other, and the one that he doesn't like as much would be shopped. Or maybe it's as simple as you keep both and Tanner Mordecai gets cut.
Maybe.
And you hope that he clears waivers and he gets on your practice squad. That, I'm sure, would be the ideal. You keep Dobbs and Allen, and Mordecai becomes your practice squad QB.
Maybe, yeah. They're going to want to keep at least three QBs. I know that. Or at least I'm hearing a lot of people guessing that as they're putting the whole roster together. Look, QB2 matters. It matters as long as, like, Brock only misses three games or less. Outside of that, I actually don't think it matters. You know, if Brock misses over a month, you lose.
Well, not really.
You lose.
If you're 6-1 and he misses four games and you go 0-4 in those games and he comes back and you're 6-5.
All right, maybe I'm a little hot. Maybe I'm a little hot saying over a month, but like you get what I'm saying. If he misses half the season.
Oh, you're in trouble.
You're cooked.
You're in trouble.
You're cooked.
Well, I don't think you're cooked because your roster is so good that if he misses eight games, you could go 3-5 at the worst in those games.
Well,
and, you know, you could tread water. When you've got nine Pro Bowlers, you'd better be able to tread water now. If your team is that good, if you lose your quarterback but everyone else is around, you should be able to sustain that at least a decent level. You shouldn't crater the whole thing.
Kyle was asked, what's the hardest part of getting the roster down to 53 guys? Before we even play what he said, I would imagine it's the cutting of people.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
Well, it's every, last job thing. And stuff, and it's, trying to figure out, what the best fit is and stuff, and trying to figure out, how many extra D linemen we need and stuff, and, the wide receiver room and stuff, and just trying to make sure all the pieces fit and stuff.
Just so our listeners know, that was not actually Kyle. That was Dibs. This is Kyle.
I mean, it's just connecting all the positions. I mean, there's, you have the unknowns with VA and Trent right now, and then we have a lot of good competition, a number of positions, whether to go light in certain places, heavier in some others. Definitely don't want to get any specifics, though, because that's what all 32 teams are doing right now, watching everyone's rosters, trying to listen to everything and figure out which guys they can get.
VA and Trent, quote, the unknowns.
Yes. And also, making sure that everything else connects. And, if BA is not going to be here, what does that mean for an extra receiver? And is that receiver somebody who can be a special teamer? Because a lot of times when you look at positions, 47 through 53 on a roster, you've got to be a player who can do more than just your primary job. If you're a backup linebacker, you've got to be able to be up on teams. Kickoff coverage, punt coverage, and the rest of it. And if you're not, well, then you're going to lose your job to maybe a wide receiver who could be up on special teams more than you are.
Also, I know some were coming out of Friday wondering about this, which is the injuries on the defense that the Niners suffered, particularly the defensive line. Leonard Floyd, Gross Matos, D. Winters are the guys Kyle's talking about here.
The injuries from the game, Yetur. Has a knee. He'll be week to week. Leonard Floyd, also with a knee. He's day to day. And D. Winters from the game also had an ankle.
Kyle, how long do you expect D. Winters to be out, if at all?
I'm not sure. We're waiting for an MRI back. With it being Sunday, we don't have the MRI yet, so probably have a better idea tomorrow.
And Kyle, with Yetur, is that a situation where he could go on IR to open the season?
I would not think so, you know, with it just being week to week. So we'll see how this week goes, and hopefully he'll have a chance to get back in practice next week for week one. But, no, they haven't mentioned anything about IR.
Okay, so there you have it. And there are decisions, like, for instance, and David Lombardi is going to join us in 10 minutes. We will deep dive all of this stuff. Talanoa Hufanga, they need to make a decision by Wednesday with regard to whether or not they're going to start him on the PUP list. He's back at practice today. They'll take a look. And so was Ricky Pearsall. And I know this bothers people, but he was wearing blue.
It doesn't bother me.
It terrifies me. Those are Rams colors, Dodgers colors. There are all these colors in the rainbow. Pick a different color. Why does the non-contact for a wide receiver have to be blue? We've got other choices.
Yeah, the QB wears red.
Right.
And then the other guys, they wear blue, as in like blue cross, blue shield. Make sure you don't touch the guy. It's got to be something that stands out.
Green?
Yeah, I don't know if green pops like blue. Blue definitely pops.
White? Black,
I suppose.
Gray, metallic gray.
It's okay, Martian. He was wearing blue.
It's not okay. Get the blue off the 49ers. We don't wear blue in this town unless you are Warriors, and even they don't wear a whole lot of blue.
Yeah.
Certainly not when they're in this town. They wear black or white.
They wear the slate.
Or the town.
Yep.
Or the whatever. The blue.
The Quakes will rock blue, and the Sharks are in teal, which is Blue's cousin, but I get what you're saying.
That's different.
It's good that Ricky Pearsall was just out there at all. So if he needs to be wearing blue because he can't be hit, then fine, wear blue. And I know the shoulder injury is lingering, and it may not be as bad as what has been reported. We don't really know. Right now, though, no contact, which is a little bit troubling.
I would love to hear, and I guess we'll do this tomorrow, right? Let's get in with Doc Pandya on the difference between what the world said about Ricky Pearsall's injury and then what Kyle said about it. Because I actually thought that that was interesting. And for those of you who didn't see it over the weekend, deal was, is that starts with Mike Silver kind of writing, oh yeah, like he's got a recurring shoulder problem. And they knew about it. And everyone's like, idiots! Let's get him! and then it's a subluxation sensation.
That's a buck.
Of the shoulder, which Kyle then sort of came out. And he's like, yeah, it's a subluxation. And it happened in college. And then it kind of happened again. And as it turns out, it happens to almost everybody all the time. I think 80% of our roster has suffered a shoulder subluxation, which if that's true, I would argue it's not a recurring problem. It's just a thing that they all go through.
It's a football thing. Yes, and you know, Doc and I can explain it to the audience a little bit more in depth tomorrow because I've had...
Oh, well, if you're such an expert, why don't you just tell us right now?
Because I've had both. And the subluxation is when your shoulder goes out, and then it goes back
in. Back in, yeah.
When you dislocate it, it gets dislocated, and it does not get relocated. So when you have a dislocated shoulder, that's when you get a labral tear, and that's when you can't get it back in. So I had a subluxation many, many, many times, starting when I played soccer in the fraternity house on the hardwood floor in my socks.
Many times? So it is a recurring injury.
For me, it was, until I reached the point of dislocation,
uh-huh.
At which point it was no longer recurring because it was permanently dislocated. So I had to go to the doctor, and they gave me that good morphine.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put it back in the socket, and they wrap you up, and then you get surgery, and they repair your labrum, and 12 weeks later, you can actually scratch your ear again.
Okay.
But a subluxation...
You can fix it.
Yes, but that's when you dislocate, is when right. The labrum tears.
And I got it.
That's where the differentiation was between what we all thought that it might be. If it's a subluxation, yeah, it goes out and you put it back in. Big deal.
All right, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, it hurts.
I'm sure it hurts.
Well, not hurts now.
Football hurts.
Sure.
Football hurts. I've never...
Jalen hurts.
Yeah, if you ever talk to a football player, it's like super comfortable.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
December's really fun. That's when you feel great.
Dude, Thursday after a Sunday, what these guys go through, it's just criminal.
Thursday after a Sunday. How about 3 weeks Sunday after a Sunday?
True.
Pain.
Yeah.
Absurd amounts of pain. like people all being wheeled in on Monday morning to like get all the treatment and then go right back out there. I mean, that's what they do. God, the Netflix, I know we refer to it so much, but I thought that was one of the most interesting moments of that Netflix receiver doc. This was Kittle and Davante Adams. Both of them just writhing on the field or the sideline or in the tent with all kinds of pain. And then you mic them up and you send them into that training room in the tunnel, and you can't see them, but you can hear them. And you hear them talking through. They're like, I can't move my, and then they're like, okay, we're going to give you a shot right here. And they're like, okay, oh my God.
Where's my helmet?
It feels great now. Let's totally. Go. Oh my, like that's
yeah
wild. I thought that was wild.
Totally.
Not that I didn't think that stuff happened, but like how quick you go from I can't move to I have full range of motion.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. All right. David Lombardi's going to jump in here next. Deep dive. How did blue-shirted Pearsall look out there today? What's the latest on Brandon and Trent and anything else that comes from what he called the longest and most spirited practice so far this year? We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibbs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.